content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jen Rogers from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from Catster.com and Dogster Magazine. We'll start today's program with an article from Catster.com titled, Why Do Cats Sleep So Much? 5 Facts About Sleeping Cats, by Jane A. Kelly. Why do cats sleep so much? And are they truly sleeping or just resting? Do they dream? Is cat snoring normal? Read on for facts about sleeping cats. Why do cats sleep so much? Our feline friends are true masters of falling asleep anytime, any place, under any circumstance. Even a cursory web search will reveal thousands of photos of sleeping cats in cute or crazy positions. But why do cats sleep so much? And what happens in their minds when they're sleeping? Do they have sleep cycles like people do? Read on to find out more about sleeping cats. 1. All that sleeping is in your cat's genes. When answering the question, why do cats sleep so much? Let's first look at how long cats sleep. Cats can sleep as much as 16 hours a day, and older cats can spend even more time at rest, as much as 20 hours a day. That sleeping habit is a result of the cat's evolution, nutritional habits, and physiology. In the wild, cats have to hunt in order to eat, and the stalking, chasing, and killing of prey burns a lot of energy. Sleeping helps cats conserve energy between meals. 2. Cats aren't always sound asleep. Another thing to consider when thinking, why do cats sleep so much, is how they sleep. Of the time cats spend sleeping, about 3/4 of it is what we might call snoozing. In that state, cats can get all the rest they need, but they're still alert enough to awaken at a moment's notice. You can tell when a cat is in light sleep because their ears will twitch and rotate towards noises and their eyes will be open a tiny bit. Even when they're sitting upright, cats can slip into that dozing mode. 3. Cats do, however, sleep deeply and even dream. The remaining 1/4 of cats' sleeping hours is spent in deep sleep, but older cats might spend as much as 30% or 40% of the time at that level. Cats in deep sleep are usually curled up with their eyes tightly closed. Sometimes they might even have their tail over their face, like a fluffy sleep mask. Deep sleep is critical for the body's ability to regenerate itself and stay healthy. It's also the time when your cat dreams. If you've seen your cat's whiskers or paws twitching while she's asleep, there's a good chance she's dreaming. 4. Some cats do snore when they sleep. Cat snoring happens when the airway is obstructed by extra skin from the soft palate. This is most likely to happen when your cat is relaxed, so it wouldn't be outrageous to notice your cat sawing some tiny little logs from time to time. Snoring is more likely to occur in short-nosed or brachycephaliac cat breeds, such as Persian, Himalayan, or the exotic short hair. 5. A change in your cat's sleeping habits could be a sign of trouble. When asking why does your cat sleep so much, you might also wonder if there's some such thing as too much or too little sleep. If your cat starts sleeping a lot more or less than usual, contact your veterinarian. Excessive sleep could be a sign of illness or pain, while frequent wakefulness can indicate a problem such as hyperthyroidism. Now we'll move on to Catster Tips. So a stray cat has adopted you. Now what? By Catherine Holm. Here's how to determine if you're dealing with a feral or stray cat and what steps to take if you'd like to welcome a stray cat into your home. Sometimes a cat shows up in your neighborhood or on your doorstep, and it's obvious that the cat is feral. There's no way you're going to lure that cat inside or touch her. And the best you can do is feed her and hopefully implement some sort of trap and release. The large gray area with free-roaming cats, however, are stray cats. A stray cat may seem feral at first, but given time, you might get close to them and even tempt them inside. With time, they may make a wonderful house cat, companion, or pet for you or another good home. So if it seems that a stray cat might be adopting you, what are the best steps to take? Here's the story of my Karma and what she showed me about how to open your arms and home to a stray cat. Go slowly and be open to any curves in the road. Start by determining whether the cat is feral. I know this is easier said than done. Here's how it played out with Karma. I began feeding her outside. Initially, she would not come close to the house at all, so I set the food on the other side of the yard, as far from the house as possible. I fed her at regular times so that she got used to a routine. Then I started to move the food closer to the house. Karma showed no reluctance to come closer, even though she would run away if I came outside while she was eating. I got to the point where the food was right inside the garage, and she was still coming in and eating. But I did this over a period of several weeks, and I didn't rush it. How to get a stray cat inside. One day, I had a hunch that I might get her in the door. I shut all the other cats inside the house and left the front door open to the small enclosed breezeway we have. She came in. Somehow, I was able to close the door behind her. Did she freak? Yes, a little. But fortunately, she was so hungry that she got her head temporarily stuck in a Dixie cup full of food that I had grabbed quickly. That enabled me to get the other cats in the bedroom and shut the door. Then I opened the house door. She jashed in, but again, I had a feeling she was a gentle cat, just scared. Initially, she hid in a tiny utility room closed near the front door. I gave her some time. I was easily able to reach in and scratch her chin. She began purring. I knew she was definitely not feral, but that she could have come close to that line. Every journey with taming a stray cat will be a little different. You sometimes need to rely on your observations and your gut feeling. Does the cat seem friendly, scared, or truly wild? To me, Karma seems scared, but not yet truly wild. She was close to feral, though, and I don't think she would have survived long had she turned feral and not been integrated into our household. Once inside, isolate the stray cat until you can take the necessary health care steps. If you succeed in getting your stray cat inside, don't let her have any contact with your other cats, if any, until you've had her vaccinated, checked, and tested for contagious diseases like feline leukemia. Wash your own hands of going between these cats in a multi-cat household. If other cats share your home, introduce them to the stray cat slowly. Let the cats get to know your stray cat from the either side of or under the door. Eventually, I might put the new cat in a carrier and let the other cats take time checking her out. I might even put other cats in carriers and let the new cat check the house out. I might introduce her to one cat at a time if there are several in the household. I use my intuition a lot, and this is no exception. If it feels like it's going really well, it may be a fast and successful introduction. If someone seems really bent out of shape, I'll take my time and make sure that all the cats get some extra love during this time of transition. Be ready for surprises with your new, formerly stray cat. We can never know the baggage that a rescued stray may carry, but it may manifest once we get to know these newcomers better. Be ready for surprises. My cats are indoor cats, but several months after Karma's successful integration to the household, she managed to escape outside. We almost did not get her back. Once outside, it was as if her personality changed. She became distant, seemed almost wild, and would not respond to us. We were able to get her, thank goodness. We remained very calm and moved very slowly, so as not to set off more of her skittishness. We took her inside. Once inside, my husband held her up to the window, thinking that he was showing her that all was okay, and she shrank from the outside. Of course, she loves to look out windows now, but it was a strange experience. Be ready for these. Kieran, another stray who adopted me, would not look out the windows for many months and didn't know how to play. It was as if he needed to learn how to be a carefree cat. So be ready, be patient when some of these surprises surface. Rescue is a big calling. Whether you're able to integrate a stray cat or find a home or help a feral cat get through another winter, this is all good karma. Now we'll move on to an article titled, The Clawed Cats for Adoption Helps Clawless Kitties Find Homes by Angela Lutz. In 22 countries, it's illegal to declaw cats, but it is still allowed and quite common in the United States. Surgery typically involves amputating the last bone of each toe. Imagine cutting off the tips of your fingers at the last knuckle. Declawing causes pain and discomfort to most of the cats who undergo the procedure, with arthritis extremely common. Even cats who don't experience complications from being declawed can become aggressive, as their main method of self-defense has been removed. This includes my own cat, Bubba Lee Kinsey. I had Bubba declawed when I was 18 years old, before I knew the truth about what the procedure entailed. Bubba is an amazing creature and my best friend. But his random acts of violence against me and my friends earned him the name Bubba the Merciless, and me several trips to urgent care to treat infected wounds. Despite the many challenges declawed cats and their families face, many adopters, fearing the destruction of their furniture, will only consider living with a cat if she's been declawed. That's why Roseanne Malusa started networking on behalf of Declawed Cats via her Facebook page, Declawed Cats for Adoption / New York Area. Malusa hopes that if a cat who has already been declawed gets adopted, it will prevent another kitty from undergoing the procedure. My hope is that someone who has decided they will only have a declawed cat will find one that needs a home instead of subjecting a cat to the horrific surgery of declawing, she says. Malusa started her Facebook page after she began photographing pets and networking for the local shelter in Long Island. She needed to place a soon-to-be homeless Maine Coon who had nowhere to go, and the task proved extremely challenging. She called 35 local rescues, but it seemed no one had room for the kitty. Then Malusa received a valuable piece of information. One kind woman who loaned me a cage and gave me advice asked if he was declawed, because that would make it easier to place him, Malusa says. I suppose if some people have the choice when adopting of a declawed or not, they will choose declawed with the thought that their furniture will not suffer. I filed this thought in the back of my mind. Malusa figured that there are millions of potential adopters in the New York City area, many of whom who are looking for a declawed cat, and many of whom end up paying a vet to have their cat declawed. By searching primarily on Petfinder, Malusa compiled all the declawed cats she could find and posted them in a central location on her Facebook page. By networking, she was able to spread the word about great adoptable cats like Bobby, who's threatened by other cats due to being declawed. He would do best as an only cat or with a docile or submissive second cat. Naturally, Malusa's rescue efforts have evolved to assist more cats in need. She recently helped save two kittens who were abandoned in a shopping cart outside a pet store, and last November she was part of a team who came to the rescue when a kitten fell down a drain pipe on a cold, rainy day. The tiny cat was 45 feet down on the edge of a 100-foot drop into a dry well. Thanks to the efforts of many individuals, including a master plumber, the police and fire departments, people networking for help, and one man who sat next to the pipe for 10 hours, the kitten was eventually freed. The kitten would have died if all these people had not banded together, Malusa says. After she was rescued, she was named Piper and adopted by a lovely family. In addition to helping declawed cats find homes, Malusa is also passionate about encouraging people to foster cats and dogs. This, she says, is one of the most important things people can do to ensure homeless animals are adopted and will make great pets, because training for most dogs is as necessary as food and water. She's also recently begun trapping and spaying neutering cats to help prevent animal homelessness in her area. The homeless cat situation is tremendously out of control, and there aren't enough of us to help, Malusa says. Foster homes would be incredibly helpful, as well as other volunteers. Please donate to your local cat organization that is doing TNR, Trap, Neuter, Return, or helping to find safe forever homes for homeless animals. Now we'll move on to Dogster Magazine. We'll start with an article, Miss Manners, by Victoria Stilwell. Do you give your dog enough attention? If you asked your dog if she's happy with the amount of time you spend with her, what would she tell you? Would she say you are the perfect companion, or would she complain that you don't give her enough attention? We all lead busy lives, and our dogs have no choice but to fit into our schedules. This is fine for dogs who have full, enriching lives, but what about the ones who spend most of their days alone while their families aren't home? Dogs are social animals and do not do well in social isolation. They thrive in cooperative social groups and are miserable when they are left alone for long periods of time. How can you tell if she's happy, and what behaviors do you need to look out for that tell you otherwise? Read your dog's signals. Dogs are always communicating to us whether we recognize it or not. They do this by using vocal or physical language that directs us to what they want us to see or what they're interested in. They can turn your attention onto something just by looking at it, looking at you and then shifting their gaze to the object or place they want you to look at. Dogs help us understand what they want by using a variety of physical and vocal gestures. Bowing down on their front legs with their bottoms in the air often means that a dog is soliciting play. And if you respond, your dog has successfully communicated her intention. If your dog is your shadow and never leaves you alone or demands attention by staring at you for long periods of time, leans against your body, sits on your feet, as small dogs tend to do, or climbs all over you when you sit down, she is either trying to tell you something important or needs to be physically close in order to feel secure. This is called anchoring, and dogs will anchor themselves to people and other dogs for safety and security. My Chihuahua Jasmine would always sit or lie on Sadie, my Labrador. The physical closeness made her feel safe. And Sadie loved to have the foot massage that Jasmine provided whenever she climbed onto her back. Everyone is fair game to Jasmine. If you lie on the floor in our house, be prepared for a small dog to climb up and lie down on you as if it were the most natural thing in the world. The lonely dog and bad behaviors. If your dog is not getting enough interaction while you are at home or is left alone for long periods of time, she might display certain behaviors caused by social isolation. The lonely dog may bark, whine, chew, or tear up the home in your absence. She might get very stressed when she sees behavior that signals you are about to leave. We tend to be ritualistic in our own behavior and often do the same things when getting ready to depart, putting on a coat, picking up a bag and keys, for example. Dogs will become anxious at these departure signals, so if your dog starts to follow you around or becomes more restless before you depart, she might have issues with separation. Thanks to modern technology, it's become a lot easier to see what your dog does when she's at home alone. Webcams not only make it easy to watch behavior on departure, but technology now allows you to talk to your dog while you're away and even dispense treats via an app on your smartphone. This might be all your dog needs to help her cope. If you still see behavior that worries you, contact a certified positive trainer that can help your dog with any separation issues she might have. And here are some tips on helping your dog become more secure. Don't leave your dog for long periods of time by herself. Find a dog walker or take her to doggy daycare so she's enriched throughout the day. Don't keep your dog outside in the backyard for long periods of time, as your yard soon becomes just like another room in your home. Unfortunately, the yard barker is an all too familiar sight. Don't reprimand or ignore your dog when she asks for your attention. There is always a reason your dog wants attention. Some dogs can be very demanding, but whatever the cause, enriching her daily life will help her become more confident and less needy. Here's some tips for do. Teach your dog to be independent by giving her constructive alone time when you're home. This may mean you leave her with a chew treat or toy to play with in her own room for short periods of time throughout the day, so she can still enjoy herself when you're not around. Enrich your dog's life by taking her on a variety of walks. Vary the types of walks she gets and the places you go. Allow her to sniff her environment and catch up on the daily neighborhood news. Play games with your dog. Play will give her positive attention and direct any built-up energy onto something constructive. Provide your dog with plenty of problem-solving games and activities to keep her mentally enriched. Puzzles and hide-and-seek games with toys provide hours of endless fun. Next, we'll move on to an article, Doggy School Dropout, by Annie Phoenix. This month, we're talking about preparing your pup for vet visits. If you think about what happens routinely to your dog at your veterinarian's office, temperature checks up the bum, strangers touching him all over, stress sounds and smells coming from other animals nearby, painful shots, blood draws, etc., it's not surprising that dogs often don't enjoy vet visits. How can dog parents and veterinarians help dogs relax more for these all-important visits? It requires both the pet parent and the veterinarian to make a big cultural change, and it's a change that is badly needed. Tips for pet parents. I have talked with countless trainers and veterinarians across the country about what they need from owners to not only keep the waiting room safe, but how to assist their dog while at the vet's office. We trainers talk every day about how stressful it can be for dogs to make a routine office visit. Here are the top things trainers and veterinarians tell me they wish pet parents would do. 1. Properly restrain your dog on a short leash. Do not bring your dog in on a retractable leash that allows him to roam the waiting room, not only stressing other dogs and cats there, who are likely already stressed themselves, but also potentially knocking down children or elderly people. There are also health considerations for you as your dog, or the one he's investigating might very well have something contagious. 2. Socialize him to public situations. If your dog lives between your home's four walls and never ventures to new places, of course going to the vet's office may very well be terrifying. Start early, as the dog brain forms opinions of the world very early in life. Make the public outings enjoyable and safe for your pup. It's never too late to start, but the earlier you provide proper socialization for your dog, the better. 3. Prepare your dog to be handled by a stranger. Your dog isn't seeing the vet technicians and veterinarian every week, so those handling him are, in effect, strangers. A scared dog might bite those handling him, and vet techs have to hold your dog still for examinations, shots, etc. Imagine if you went to the doctor's office and a nurse stood over you and held your arms and legs down. You probably feel trapped. At home, practice having a friendly person lean over your dog while you reinforce calm canine behavior with mind-blowing canine treats. Go slowly. Touch your dog's nails, feet, ears, and back while telling him what a good boy he is and while feeding him those yummy treats. Do this often, not just once a year. 4. If you have a reactive dog, call ahead and let the staff know you'll wait out in your car until an exam room's available. Reactive dogs can be even more stressed than other dogs at a vet clinic. Alternatively, look for a veterinarian who makes house calls. Tips for veterinarians. 1. Provide visual barriers and small cubbyhole areas in the waiting room. The waiting room in many vet offices can quickly become a nightmare for dogs. A stressed dog is much more likely to bite out of fear. 2. Vet staff, often the heroic backbone of any clinic, must be trained in handling and how to ease canine worry and stress. It's in the veterinarian's best interest to keep their canine clients as calm and happy as possible. Low-stress handling courses are readily available and thankfully becoming more and more popular. 3. Do away with waiting rooms altogether. Is this a radical idea or an extremely practical one that will help dogs enormously? More private rooms solve a lot of the waiting room stresses. As more and more dog owners ask for low-stress handling of their pets, why not provide a safe waiting room and low-stress handling for your clients? It takes a caring and thoughtful pet parent to prepare their dog for a vet visit. It takes a wise veterinarian to learn how to limit stress while their canine customers are getting routine vet care. Next, we'll move on to Why Do Dogs? By Martha M. Everett. Shake, shake, shake. Leave it to dogs to shake things up. They shake off water. They shake a paw. They shake after napping and grooming. And some dogs just shake. Why do dogs shake? Lots of reasons. A simple cause is because they're cold, and in this case, size matters. We've seen a whole lot of shaking going on in small dogs. Think Chihuahua. Shaking in Chihuahuas isn't unusual, says Linda George, who has been showing and breeding the tiny toy group breed for nearly 50 years through Wachita and Lone Pine Chihuahuas in Waukesha, Wisconsin. There can be many causes: cold, stress, fear, excitement, illness. With a full-grown weight of less than 6 pounds, it doesn't take much of a chill for a Chihuahua to shiver, particularly the short-haired, smooth-coated variety that has neither girth nor long fur to retain heat and keep warmth. But it's not just Chihuahuas. Smaller dogs in general are more susceptible to cold due to their fast metabolism and high energy. Because they break down food and burn energy at a fast rate, they lose heat quickly. In addition, lighter weight breeds can be more excitable and hyperactive, which can cause shaking, according to a University of Sydney research project published in 2013. That research also found that short breeds are prone to things that can cause shaking, such as attachment issues, fear of other dogs, and sensitivity to touch. Good and bad vibrations. Dogs can shake or tremble for a variety of reasons, both medical and behavioral, says animal behaviorist Megan E. Maxwell, Ph.D. There are many cases where shaking is related to anxiety. Dogs will tremble during thunderstorms, fireworks, or in response to other loud noises. They sometimes will shake during vet visits, in new places, or in the car, or because of a refrigerator. When a couple contacted Megan about their Bichon Frise's baffling shaking episodes, she asked them to detail each instance, including the time and location. In doing so, they realized that there was a reliable trigger, says Megan, who owns Pet Behavior Change in Blacksburg, Virginia. This little dog was experiencing a fearful reaction to the sound of the refrigerator motor kicking on. Several times a day, as the motor kicked on to cool the refrigerator temperature, the slight bump and hum sent this dog into a fearful tizzy. That kind of shaking is a physical response to emotions, both negative and positive. In some cases, shaking can result from excited anticipation, Megan says. Simple things can set it off: the sight of the squirrel, the creaking of a treat cabinet drawer, your arrival home. The anticipation of something good can cause a dog to accelerate that tail wag into a full body shake. There's a burst of energy, and the shaking burns it off. When shaking is serious. If a dog is shaking persistently, and not only in response to cold temperatures, which would be a natural response, owners should first take their dog to his or her veterinarian for a full physical examination, Megan advises. Skin or irritation can lead to trembling, as can pain, fear, fever higher than 103 degrees Fahrenheit, nausea, kidney or liver disease, or ingesting a toxin such as chocolate or the sugar substitute xylitol. If your dog has ingested a toxin, contact the Animal Poison Control Center at 888-426-4435. Often other symptoms like diarrhea, vomiting, or limping offer a clue that it's more serious than just shaking. Generalized tremor syndrome, also known as steroid responsive tremor syndrome, causes muscle tremors throughout the body. Originally, it was called white dog shaker syndrome. It first appeared in small white breeds, such as the Maltese and West Highland White Terriers, but any dog can develop GTS. It usually strikes young dogs and can be treated with steroid medication. Distemper, a contagious viral infection for which there's also a vaccine, and Addison's disease, also called hypoandronecorticism, a disorder in which the adrenal gland doesn't produce enough of the hormones cortisol and aldosterone, also can cause shaking. Epilepsy and seizure disorders cause a severe form of shaking in which the dog loses body control and is unresponsive. Senior dogs sometimes tremble due to joint pain or discomfort. Some calming advice. The veterinarian rules out any medical condition that is leading to shaking and instead suggests that it's emotionally or behaviorally motivated, that is, it's related to stress or anxiety. Then the owners might decide to work with a board-certified animal behaviorist to address it, Megan says. If the shaking is related to some stressor in the dog's life or environment, then it would be of use to figure out what is causing the stress and develop a plan to reduce that stress. Linda advises that socializing a puppy to all kinds of people and situations early in life may reduce shaking due to stress and fear later on in life. To help calm a shaking dog, she says, put the dog in a crate or a place where he's warm, safe, and quiet. Other tips to put a chill on shaking include regular exercise burns off energy and can reduce tension, ease into new situations and environments, offer consistent training, and use positive reinforcement to reward desired behavior. Shake it off. Dogs do shake purposefully, and that leads to some interesting tidbits. Just because dogs are pack animals, that doesn't mean they're comfortable with someone getting in their face. Some articles suggest that dogs have boundaries, and acts that invade a dog's personal space, such as hugging, grooming, or even playing with another dog, can lead the dog to shake off that kind of intensity. When dogs shake after waking up, that could be a holdover from their wild canid ancestors, who shook to rid themselves of debris after sleeping on the ground, some believe. Dogs can shake about 70% of water from their fur in 4 seconds, says a Georgia Institute of Technology research study published in 2012. This behavior reduces the weight of wet fur, helps prevent hypothermia, and saves calories a cold, wet dog would burn trying to stay warm. We've run out of time for today's episode of All About Pets. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Jen Rogers, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleReadingService.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.